very few are aware of the dangers of Instagram. Many people treat me as old-fashioned and exaggerated when they see that I'm too cautious about who I add or accept on my account. But few lived what I lived. It all started on a completely normal day. I was at home, lying in bed watching TV, bored. I heard an Instagram notification, and when I checked my phone, I noticed a follow request on Instagram from a strange user named Ed. He had no posts, followers, or follow back, just a picture of an irisless eye as an avatar. Intrigued, I accepted the request. Maybe it was just a venture of a person looking for followers. I didn't have anything too private on my profile, so I didn't think much of the fact that someone new might see my photos. But as the days went by, I began to notice something disturbing. Ed always saw all my stories, even though he never interacted with my post. No matter when or at what time I uploaded the story, Ed was there, looking at it within 2 minutes of uploading it. I admit that it started to bother me, as every time I checked his profile, his numbers remained the same. I was the only person he was following. One night, while checking my feed, I noticed that Ed had liked a picture of me. The picture in question showed my house from the outside, a picture I didn't remember posting. He was the only person who had liked the photo, so surely the image was from before, but had been archived. I was totally confused. Where had that picture come from? I decided to block Ed, thinking that would be the solution to free me from his disturbing presence. But as I did so, something strange happened to my cell phone. The Instagram app stopped working, and once I tried to log in again, the app itself blocked me. I couldn't upload stories or posts. I tried to ignore the situation and go on with my life. Maybe I could use a break from social networks. But every time I checked my followers list, out of curiosity, Ed reappeared. I began to notice that as the days went by, new photos were uploaded reflecting intimate and personal moments, things I didn't remember sharing. The feeling of being watched became unbearable. One night, when I was home alone, I received an Instagram notification. It was a direct message from Ed. The text was simple, but scary. "I know where you are." I looked at my surroundings nervously, feeling like someone was watching me from the dark. I decided to turn off my phone and try to forget what happened. The next day, my Instagram account was hacked. All my photos had been deleted, replaced by distorted images and incomprehensible messages. I tried to recover my account, but it was no use. My cell phone was acting up, and I had to reboot it. In desperation, I sought help from Instagram's technical support, but got no clear answers. While dealing with this situation, I started noticing strange events moving into the real world. I was receiving anonymous letters with clippings of my photos and disturbing messages. I don't know what this man wanted from me, what he was doing this for. Fun? Did I want to take it further? Why me? I was slowly becoming desperate. I had too many questions, and what I didn't know was that soon, the answers would come. By this time, I had uninstalled Instagram from my cell phone and was temporarily free of the problem, or so I thought. That night, I was at the computer when suddenly I got a notification. It was Instagram, which seemed very strange to me because I didn't use it for my PC, and I hadn't even activated the notifications on there. But by this time, I had stopped believing in coincidences. Intrigued, I opened the Instagram notification. It was another direct message from that Ed guy. This time, he hadn't written me anything. He had sent a picture. A picture of my house. You know what the worst part was? It was that the picture was not from the outside in, but it was taken from inside my house. When I saw this, I gasped and went numb with surprise. I barely had time to react and look around. The lights went out, and everything stopped working. I looked out the window of my house and saw that my house was the only one without power. Part of me knew it was going to be like this. There was someone in the house with me, and I had to face the fact that my life was at risk. I tried to open up the window to escape, but at that moment I realized it was a terrible mistake. Hiding behind the tree, I could see the shadow of someone staring at me. How could there be someone outside? The photo had been taken from inside. Confused, I took a few steps back on my way to the kitchen. If I was going to confront this psycho, I would at least do it with a knife. I ran in the dark, knowing the house, even though I couldn't see anything. But on my way to the kitchen, I tripped over something and fell. I was always a very tidy person. What could be on the floor so big that I tripped? The answer came quickly, and I was shocked. As I looked down at my feet, I realized that the lump I had tripped over was not a basket of clothes or a piece of furniture. It was a man. A man dressed in dark clothing with a hood covering his face. You know what was the only thing I could see very clearly about him? His tongue. Because at that moment he was sucking my bare feet with an enormous obsession and happiness. I kicked him and crawled quickly backward, but the man grimaced with excitement and began to crawl quickly towards me. "Who are you? Why are you in my house?" Without answering me, he reached me and climbed on top of me. My body was immobilized, and I was left helpless and at the mercy of this psychopath. You're Ed, right?
No.
He answered for the first time with a raspy and playful voice.
I'm Amir, and the man waiting for you outside is Damien. The two of us are Ed, and we've been watching you for a while.
Why?
Why? Why? Why not?
You got what you wanted. You already gave me the scare of my life, okay? Just please let me go.
And miss all the fun? And I thought I was the crazy one here.
While the psycho was laughing nonstop, I gave him a hard punch in the face that, to my surprise, knocked him down. I ran as fast as I could, and as I did so, with my eyesight already adapted to the dark, I could see how the psycho put on a terrifying mask and started to chase me. Without fear of getting hurt, I jumped out the window, smashing it to pieces and hurting myself on the way. Once outside, I kept running to go to a neighbor's house, but suddenly, a huge man charged at me and knocked me down. We both began to struggle on the ground, but he was much stronger than me, and with a relentless determination, he began to squeeze my neck.
You had to stay inside with my brother, kid.
What? Is it so hard for you to please him?
Can't you see he's got a mental problem?
Help!
Nobody will save you from this, boy. I was the one who started this hacking, you. And I'll be the one to finish it.
Come on, brother. You can do it.
I was running out of air and I could no longer breathe. I knew that at that moment, I was going to die for sure. But suddenly, salvation came. Several neighbors rushed at the terrifying man and held him while I ran away. Terrified, the brother's only reaction was to run in desperation into the shadows. The police soon arrived and arrested the man. His brother appeared shortly thereafter on a highway, lost and disoriented. He could do nothing without his brother, who really was the mastermind. I still think of that day. That day, my neighbors noticed that I had run out of electricity and, just out of curiosity, looked over to my house to notice the figure of a man hiding, ready to attack me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be telling this story to you now. You know, it was all worth it. I learned my lesson. From that day on, I only accept on Instagram people I know. Who knows what kind of psycho might be on the other side of the phone, stalking me.
Hello, everyone. We are thrilled that you have been enjoying our videos. Your support means the world to us. If you've liked what you've seen, please consider liking and subscribing to our channel. We would love to hear which one of our videos is your favorite. We're on a mission to reach 100,000 members in the SSG family, and with your help, we can achieve that goal. Thank you for being a part of our journey.
Hi, I'm Tracy, and today I will tell you why I quit social media and OnlyFans, and a horrific incident that happened in my life. Before we dive into the story, let me tell you about my background. I was born to a broke, single mom. My dad was never in the picture, and often my mother struggled to take care of me. She did multiple small jobs to keep us afloat. She was also a chain smoker, and sometimes even did hard drugs. Most of my childhood was spent in small, dingy apartments, fending for myself and eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches all alone while my mother worked. My mom wasn't a bad person, and she never meant to ignore or neglect me, but the fact that she was all alone in this world looking after a daughter made her crave a partner really bad. From the age of 5, I remember her bringing different men to our apartment. But no man ever stuck around, and that depressed my mother more and more. It pushed her towards drinking and drugs to the limit, and she overdosed when I was 16. That's when I decided to step out to work and earn money. However, a high school sophomore had very limited job options. But despite that, I did any and every job I got. Store help, McDonald's employee, cashier, receptionist, you name it. But still, I could not make enough to support my mother and myself. That's when I was introduced to OnlyFans by one of my colleagues. She too did it and made enough to rent a good apartment and have a car. At first, I was hesitant. But my mother needed to be in rehab, and we needed a roof over our head. So, despite just being 17, I started doing it. I didn't have any experience in the field, and to be honest, the thought of posting adult content repulsed me at first. But looking at the money creators on OnlyFans were making, I was determined to turn our lives around by doing it. At first, I just started by sharing feet pics, as I was absolutely underconfident. But in the first week itself, I had earned $200 and could enroll my mom in rehab. But the more time I spent filming content for the site and posting, I started getting more and more subscribers. And with a large number of subscribers, came different requests. Now my subscribers wanted to see more than my feet. And within no time, I was naked on the site and earning thousands of dollars a week. My mom completed her rehab, we moved to a new apartment, I bought a car, and I also turned 18. Now, I could do it officially. When my mom came back, she was a completely new woman. She had welcomed God into her life, and she didn't even want to look at alcohol, cigarettes, or drugs. I was very happy for her and the fact that she had moved on in life. A couple of months ago after, she met a man. His name was Derek, and she met him at the library where she worked. Derek was a total gentleman, and soon he became the father figure in my life that I never had. My life was great. I had money, a house, a car, and most importantly, my mother was happy. However, she did not know that I was an OnlyFan. I told her that I was doing modeling and had worked in multiple campaigns in the past year. She didn't question it. I used my Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter to promote my OnlyFans content, and I was getting many followers across platforms. I had collaboration offers from many creators, too. That's when I got the first DM. It was sent from an Instagram account called Your Secret Admirer at 18. The DM also had a video of me And not just any video. It was a video of me hooking up with a guy. I did post content on OnlyFans, but to date, it was me alone. I had refused to collaborate with any creator, let alone a male one. I was shocked to see the video, and the blackmailer asked for a ransom of $5,000. I tried to message the account, but I got no response. At first, I took the threat lightly and didn't think much of it. But as days passed, I got another video of me with the same guy. This one was more graphic than before. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't talk to my mother or anyone else. So, I sent the money. The videos were deleted, and I thought my nightmare was over. But little did I know. I was easily earning $30,000 to $40,000 a month from my OnlyFans. As I said, life was good. Mom and Derek were growing strong, and he had become a daily fixture in our lives. But that's when I got a DM from the same account again. This time, it was a video of me buying groceries. I don't know, but this video terrified me more than the first one, because of the message below it. My blackmailer said that I must send $10,000 immediately, or the next time I step out of the car, I will be kidnapped. I wanted to go to the cops, but that meant they would eventually see my content and the previous video the blackmailer had sent me. I really had no idea who this person was, but just to prove his point, he had uploaded many of my photos on his account, turning it into my fan page. I didn't want to put a damper on my mother's good mood, so I sent $10,000 immediately. But I knew that this could turn into a habit, and my so-called secret admirer would milk me for my money. So, the best person I could think of to help me was Derek. He was a gentle soul, and he would respect my boundaries and not view my content, but still help me. When I approached Derek, he was very understanding and told me that he would deal with the blackmailer if he struck again. For the first time in my life, I had a man standing up for me, and it was a good feeling. But when the blackmailer messaged me the next time, he sent me pics of me filming my OnlyFans content in my room. Now I was shaken to my core and knew this had to be a very smart man, as no one had access to my house, and I filmed while my mom was working. I approached Derek and told him everything. He agreed to keep it between us and messaged the blackmailer posing as my father. But somehow, the blackmailer always had an upper hand, and he sent me a video of me hooking up with another guy. I was so broken from within. I had no fight left in me. I sent him the money so he would leave me alone. After that, I stopped stepping out of my house. But still, the blackmailer kept on messaging me, sending me pictures of me in my house. I was so baffled, as there was no one except my mom and Derek in the house, and I trusted the two of them absolutely. So, who might this person be? Was someone breaking into my house? I thought of going to the cops, but I felt shameful and disgusted with myself. That week, Derek proposed to my mom, and she said yes. They both were so happy, but I was absolutely broken from within. Although I put up a brave smile on my face, Derek knew what I was going through and suggested approaching the cops on my behalf. He also suggested hiring a hacker, but did not want anyone I knew to see my OnlyFans content, not visit my social media accounts, so I kept refusing, and the blackmailer kept extorting money from me. A month later, after losing a significant bank balance, for some reason, I was going through Derek's phone. That's when I accidentally opened his gallery and saw multiple pictures of me in compromising positions filming my OnlyFans account. And it hit me like a rock. I went to his social media and saw that he was the operator of Your Secret Admirer at 18. He was the one who was blackmailing me all along. Then I went to some of his other social media accounts and found him chatting with multiple different women, and he was also sending my pictures to a lot of his male friends. He was trash-talking about me and my mother. All this brought me to tears. I knew that this would hurt my mother a lot, but I needed to drive the scamster away from our lives. But before confronting him, I spoke to my mother. I told her the truth about my career, and she flipped. All the talks about God and forgiveness went out of the window, and she blamed me for stealing her man. She didn't believe me and threw me out of my own apartment before I could confront him. She also took my car and most of my money. Now, here I am after deleting all my accounts and OnlyFans content. Back to living in a dingy apartment and doing nominal jobs to stay afloat.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
While my blackmailer enjoys my money and my efforts.